Welcome, church family. Did you notice that? In case you've forgotten, we're family. So look around the room. That's true Christians. Get used to it, because you're going to be spending all eternity with everybody you see around you, and many more. So we are a family. I really feel like the Lord has given me a teaching this morning. We're going to be moving through some scriptures in they'll be up on the screen, however big or small they may be to you. But I really believe that in this day and age, the Lord really wants us to pick our vision up, okay, from just the things that we focus on every day. If I may use that word, that myopic vision that, you know, there's a whole room, there's all kinds of things going on, but all I see is this remote, because this is the remote that changes my slides, and that's all I'm interested in, which is not true. There's a lot more going on in this room, and I really feel like the Lord wants to do that. You know, He does not live in space and time, and I don't know about you, but I'm a little done with time myself. That thing on the wall, that tick, 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 you know, we don't even have to learn how to do that in grade school, because you just pull out, it's digital anymore. You don't have to know the big hand and the little hand. But God is not in that. And it's hard for us to comprehend that, because we live in it. And it is running our lives. But we want to move kind of in a little bit, pick our vision up today. And I just want to kind of start with a little analogy. Let's say you're going to a movie. You know, you've been looking forward to this movie, whatever kind of movie you like, okay? Drama, love, action, sci-fi, whatever it is. And you can't wait, you just see this plot, you're sitting there, the movie starts, you're just starting getting into it in the first 10 minutes, and the person who's sitting next to you looks at you and says, and by the way, this is how it ends, and just within 1 minute lays the whole ending out, okay? It's interesting, yes. It seems spoiled to you. And as I was thinking about this, why is that? How did that get spoiled? Well, some of us, not all of us, in a movie, you kind of like the emotional drama that's going on, right? You're moving through, there's emotional drama. What's happening? You get to know the characters. You get to know what they're doing, the plot. Is there a goal? Is there a vision? Are these two supposed to come together in the end? Does this person die? Does that person make it? Do they make it, but they don't get together? I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. And when you hear that, it takes that away from you. And it's an interesting thing. I believe that the Lord wants us to focus on what really matters from His point of view. And if we can do that, we can alleviate some of the emotional drama that we have in our lives. Okay? If we can pick our vision up and get going. Jesus said this. We remember Martha and Mary, we all know it, but it just so ties into what we're talking about this morning. Martha's getting things ready. If you've ever prepared a meal for a bunch of people, right? If you've done that, you can relate a little more. Everybody's there, everyone's having a great time, and there's this expectation that something's got to happen, okay? They want that meal delivered, and Martha is following that. Mary is not helping her. And that's very important in the culture, in our culture in the day. I mean, we kind of read this and we go blow by it, but there was an expectation there of what's happening. And Martha gets a little crabby to the point where she goes to Jesus and says something to Him. And He says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Emotional drama. You're thinking, that's not emotional drama. If you sit down and serve a terrible meal, everybody's going to say, hey, that meal stunk. Okay, but just follow what He says. You're upset and worried about so many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. When was the last time you looked at a situation you're in the middle of and quoted that to yourself from the Lord? Mary has chosen what is better. He didn't say what she was doing was bad, what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So let's begin our little journey this morning as we move through some scriptures, okay, and see what happens from the Lord's perspective. There we go. We are going to focus on the big picture. I think that's a pretty big picture for us. Hopefully we can recognize that. That's the earth. That's kind of big, don't you think? So I really believe God wants us to pick our vision up this morning. Just pick it up. Okay? If you were standing on the moon and looking at that, are you looking? Can you see all the way down to me right here in this megalopolis of Oswego, New York, speaking in this church? No, you kind of got this broad view. It's like, now if like a huge asteroid were to hit the earth, you think, okay, now I can see that from out there. As we pull our vision away and begin to see things that God sees, I really believe he wants to help us to do that. There's so much going on in the world and in our lives right now that he wants us to see what's going on. Cool. That's a little smaller than I thought. So I'm going to read you what that scripture says. That's pretty interesting. When I read this scripture, by the way, that is a picture of the Milky Way galaxy. Okay? That is a picture of the Milky Way galaxy. And that says, in the beginning, we know this, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. I'm going to stop for a sec and let you gaze at that picture again. Okay? And as you're gazing at that picture that I told you is the Milky Way galaxy, I'm going to give you just two simple facts. So, we live in the Milky Way galaxy. In that galaxy is our sun and the planets that are revolving, our little solar system here. In that galaxy that you're looking at right there, ready? That galaxy contains over 200 billion stars, including our sun. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's pick our vision up to see who it is that we're serving. We have to start there, okay? By the way, you know they launched this other telescope, it's way into deep space. They're getting all kinds of great images from it. You ready for this? As of March 2022, they believe, okay, that's a galaxy with 200 billion stars. How many galaxies do you think there are? Don't even guess, because you won't come close. You ready? They believe now that there are 2 trillion galaxies. 200 billion stars in ours. it just blows my mind. 2 trillion galaxies, okay? Who do you serve? How big is this massive creation? And what does the Word say who created that? I hope you're starting to pick your head up just a little bit from right where you at to begin to see the size of the God that you serve. He is awesome. And whenever I look at something like that, there's just something inside of me. I don't know about you, but like, you know, I'm tingly, I can't figure it out. To think that entity, okay, came, is a great quote from C.S. Lewis that came bouncing in. Ooh, animation effects, you're welcome. So let's see what that says. C.S. Lewis has some phenomenal quotes, by the way, if you haven't checked him out. He says this, aim for heaven, look out there, and that's one of trillions. Aim for heaven, and you will get earth thrown in. I love it. Aim for earth, and you get neither. Is that just help you set your mind? Aim for heaven. That means pick your focus up and aim for heaven. Aim for God and what he has. If you do that, yeah, you get the earth thrown in. If you aim for earth, that means getting caught up in everything that's going on here all the time. If you aim for the earth, you're going to get nothing. Okay? You're going to get nothing. So, what happens? What happens in this grand plan? In the end, spoiler alert, here we go. You're thinking, I know this. Pick your vision up. God is trying to speak something in your heart today to help you get beyond your current thoughts. Believe me, I've got a lot going in my life right now. My wife could tell you. I'd like to say that I never complain, but that would be a lie. And Bill already said we can't lie in church on Sunday morning. So what happens? We need to see what happens. You know, we have a spoiler alert. And let me tell you, as I've been going over this for the last few weeks, I can't tell you how many times I've had to come back to this teaching because stuff has been happening. Can I say that? Okay, it's like roadblock after roadblock. And I'm like, coming back to this, I'm like, Lord, I get it. You want to make sure I understand it first before I talk about it. For starters, we went, sorry. Maybe some of the emotional drama that you've been going through in your life, maybe you're just going to go, oh man, I wish you wouldn't have told me that I win. Well, you win. In Christ, you win. And if you know you win, then those situations where things get really tense and you know how it's going to work out, you win. You win. Aw, man. Now you're going to be bored when you come home today. We win. How do I know it? Because of that tiny little writing. From Revelations. Revelations 19. Good thing I have it on my paper, too. Revelations 19 says this. Ready? Now think of that Milky Way galaxy. Think of all this incredible stuff going on, and that's just one little planet in billions, trillions. I can't count that high. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah. I think I want to be in that worship service. That sounds incredible. For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Ready for this? You wonder if the two get together in the end? Yeah, they do, because look, we're in a wedding. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. That's you and I. If you want to look through the scriptures, we can dive in. I mean, we could be here all day. Don't worry, that's not happening. But I'm trying to give you the big picture. I'm just highlighting certain scriptures. Jesus talked about it. We have this incredible moment that's coming, our wedding day with him. It says, fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. I want to read something to you that Spurgeon, how many of you have heard of Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon? Okay, great, great preacher from just a little while ago. On this scripture he wrote, and I just loved it, so I have to quote it. It's a little old Englishy, so I hope you can track with me. On that day, everyone will see the church for what she really is. Big picture. The precious bride of Jesus. The bride of Christ is a sort of Cinderella now. I loved that analogy. Okay, I think we've all seen Cinderella. I'm like, yeah, that's how I feel sometimes. Stuck up in the attic. I'm just up there, nobody cares. Cinderella now, sitting among the ashes. She is like her Lord, despised and rejected of men. The watchmen smite her. and take away her veil from her, for they know her not, even as they knew not her Lord. But when he shall appear, then shall she appear also, and in his glory manifestation she also shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of her Father. I love how he put that. We're victorious. How are we victorious? Let's read. Revelation 21 says, big picture, then I saw, you ready for this? A new heaven and a new earth. And if you're wondering, oh, how God can do that. No, you're right, sorry. Thank you, Bill. We are in Revelations 19. We haven't gotten there yet. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire on his head and are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Listen, the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Didn't we just read about the white linen? Okay, I think it's clear to me that's us. That's us riding with him. Could you imagine that? Coming out of his mouth was a sharp sword, which he strikes down nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We win, okay? We win. We are riding down with him. Have you ever ridden a horse? Have you ever ridden one from space into earth? Okay, I hate to be a one-upper, but I mean right there. So, I mean, this is amazing stuff. So the next time you get caught up, you have a paper or a test that you gotta do, I know it's midterms week right now, or you've got things going on, but we kinda, even right now, there's a part of our mind that just kinda wants to blow by all these things. And I would say to you, why? What reality do you have? We win. The end of the movie. Another spoiler alert, we live happily ever after. Don't you want to live happily ever after? If you're striving for retirement, nah. This is the real we live happily ever after. What are you going through right now that could possibly overshadow what God has already done? The majesty, the magnificence of him, trillions of stars, what could possibly come in that place where you're not going to be able to pick your vision up? And I'm just going to read a little bit of this. We get a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, the old has passed away, and there is no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Have you ever noticed that language in there? The city, it says, was like the bride. And I was listening to somebody speak on that, and they were saying, which was interesting, that we are going to be intimately connected with the city that we're going to live in. It's just going to be incredible, okay, where we are in this particular place and where we're living. That's the best we could pretty much figure out about this city. Just to give you a little glimpse, I mean, I can tell you about how big it is. It's a cube. It goes from like New York to Florida. You know, that's how wide it's a cube. And there's all kinds of crazy things in there. We can spend all kinds of time talking about there, but do you want to live happily after ever? Did you go through anything this week that was trying and difficult? Did you want to quit? You're going to live in a really cool place after you take a horsey ride through the sky and watch Jesus wipe everybody out while you're just riding in there. You're like in the glory parade. You're like, yay, I didn't even get seasick on this thing. Okay, and I don't have time to talk about, you know, the tribulation we just came through and the thousand-year reign. We're going to leave all that aside for right now, but that's where we end up. Is there any little bit of excitement in your heart at all? Is there any place in your heart right now where you're thinking, I win. I'm going to live happily ever after. All the things I'm going through right now, I think I can put up with them. I think I can take my focus so much where it is stealing everything away from me. I'm going to live in a place, you ready for this? Hold on, if you haven't gotten excited yet, this one is going to excite you. You're going to be living in a place that everything you do is perfect. Okay, everything you do is perfect. Every thought you have will be pure. Every encounter you have, if you're not excited yet, if this one doesn't excite you, I don't know what I can tell you. Every encounter you have with every person in that city is going to be joyous. Woo! Whatever you're doing, wherever you're working in that city, nobody's going to come in, and you're going to have to call customer service because they're really having a hard time. Okay, security won't ever need to be called. You won't even have to be thrown out of every place. Everyone that you come in contact with in that city is just going to be incredible. And you know what? I probably wrote this for myself. Everything we set out to do, we will accomplish, you ready for this? Without fear or worry. We will love it. We will enjoy it. Are you excited yet? Are you picking your vision up yet? Are you thinking through the things you have to do and realizing, okay, I won. No, I don't know how this particular situation is going to work out, but I won. I win, and I get to live happily ever after. It's really important for us. I can't tell you. I really believe God wants us to hear this message because this world right now is, every day it's hitting, situations, circumstances, relationships, finances, a bit of anarchy. It's all kinds of crazy things, and God wants us to pick our vision up. How can we be that light, right? Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. How are we going to be there if we are constantly downtrodden? If we're constantly in emotional turmoil? I'm not saying we'll be there yet, but there's coming a day. So to move this along, big picture, okay, there are two main principles I want to show you. And it's very simple. Okay, for us to stay focused on while we're here. I know you want to get on your white horse right now, go for a ride. Okay, maybe fly by a rainbow, go through a cloud. I mean, it'd be really cool. But there's two things we got to take care of right now. And again, we can get into lots of different scriptures, but the first part is God's part, right? He has a part, we have a part. His part is love. There's got to be more than that. There's a lot of stuff, but I'm, again, big picture, and I want to show you why that's the case. He loves us. John 3:16. Oh, but we know that. Oh, really? For God so loved, this is how we read it. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Okay, that's one way to read it. And here's the way I think you should read it. You ready? For God so loved. Okay? So loved. Now, I can say to somebody, I can say to my wife, love you. You know, we like to throw those things around. Maybe we mean it. Maybe we're throwing it out there. Maybe we're trying to make peace. I don't know. Love you. But if you went to somebody and said, I so love you, that's a little different, don't you think? That's how you should be reading this scripture. God so loved you. He so loved this world. What did he do? He came to condemn, no, to save the world, okay? Remember the earth? We started off with that beautiful little thing. And trillions of them all over. He loves you. I want you to freak out. But he saved you by grace. And we think, yeah, sometimes I think we are saved by faith. Can't muster up enough faith to get this thing done, right? Let's read what that says. This is in Ephesians, right? In order that in the coming ages, I already talked about that, okay? In the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches. That means you cannot compare the riches. This is what God's telling us from like trillions of galaxies. I mean, that is beyond our comprehension. He's saying you can't compare how much this great is worth in riches, expressed in kindness. He doesn't just have grace. It's like, I want to slap you aside the head, but I'm going to have grace for you. Okay, I'm not going to do that. No, it says in his kindness. Okay, in his kindness expressed where? In Jesus. It always sits there. As we read through these scriptures, remember, it always comes back to Jesus and what he did. That's the big picture. He's in here, right? And it says, by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's the free gift of God, not by works. I just want to point that out to you this morning. God loves you so much, he made a way for you that it's not by your works. You know what grace is? Ready? Unmerited favor. Unmerited. You deserve nothing. That's his love for you. I can talk for an hour on that because it's astonishing. Ready for this one too? I just love this scripture. Now, before we read that, when we see somebody do a dastardly thing, we are so happy when they get what they deserve, right? We're like, yeah, you rat. Yeah, I'm so glad you got caught, whatever. This scripture is just a different side of God's love in Ezekiel. Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure. I'm glad none of us are God. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn with an exclamation point. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel? It's just another angle of God's love. Even when he's doing that, he said he takes no pleasure in it. You know, when you love somebody and something goes wrong, you may have a child. You love that child, you got to discipline that child, okay? If you wait till they really annoy you, well, I don't know about not taking any pleasure in giving them their comeuppance, okay? But it's in that place when you have this great love for somebody, you want them to succeed. You want them to be a part of you. You want them to live. That's what he's saying, man. He loves you. That's how much he loves you. Okay? He made a complete and total way for you. The God who created all of that, that we can't comprehend, loves you that much. I tell you, it's this particular point. I had a student years ago that I had never met, came to a life group we had. He was a senior. And I had some students at the end of the meeting pass him over to me. I kept saying, he got into a place where he was asking some questions. They get to the end of the line, they end up my way. And he said, you know, I grew up in the church. He said, but since I've been in college, he said, I've seen all these other religions. Why is yours different? They all believe what they do too. And at that moment, I wish I was riding my white horse. Because I was. I'm like, humana, 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 humana. And at that moment, I said, Lord, give me an answer for this man, because he was sincere. He wasn't just trying to be a jerk. And God brought this part of his heart to me. I said, in every other faith, isn't it all about, you know, God's love towards us, right? He wants us. Yeah, I said, but in every other faith, don't you have to do something to get there? I said, I know Christianity is the only way, Because when in Christianity, when God says he loves you, he did everything for you. All you have to do is believe what he said. That's how I know Christianity is the one way and the only way, because it fits. And he walked away, never saw him before that or after that. It's the truth. It's the truth, you guys. Christianity, I don't care what they're telling you, that we are not exclusive. We are inclusive of everyone. You don't have to muster it up. You don't have to get everything right, go away to the Himalayas and separate yourself from everyone and everything so that you can become pure. No. No, you just have to apply faith that opens the door for that love of God who wants you so much to rush in. He loves you so much, he told you the end of the story. But we have our part, which is love. Hey, I'm starting to get a theme here. Love God. Matthew, they're talking to Jesus. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with a question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Okay, I can't remember, 600 and something laws, I think, in the Old Testament. But they're trying to get him. Their motivation wasn't love. And they say, "So what's the deal here?" And that's what he says. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest." He loves you. You want to boil it down? This is the big picture morning. You know what you got to do? You got to love him. We're going to have this marriage ceremony, which we just read about, right? We become heirs with him. I don't know how that works. How am I an heir with Christ? That's what it says in Romans. I'm an heir. How? Somehow in this marriage ceremony. God, you know, it goes beyond that, but, you know, that's what we understand marriage, so that's what God talked about. We become one somehow. Somehow we get to be an heir. Okay, so what is he? Well, of course you're bride. I'm like, you love me. What do you want you to do? Love me. Not just on Tuesdays or Thursday nights or Friday night because we're going out to dinner. Love me with what? With everything you have. That's what he's saying. Love me with everything you have. You know, besides the fact that he's got more money and resources than Elon Musk, okay, he can throw a planet out there just for me if I want. There's trillions. I think I can do that. How about you? The next time you're caught up in wondering what's going to go on, can you start by loving him? Life is not good at this moment, but it will be perfect for you. You're thinking, how does that help me today? You know what? It may sound harsh, but we got to grow up and mature. We got to learn and the goal and move toward it. And we need to love him. There's a scripture that I want to read you. Psalm 1, and when I thought of it, the Lord put this on my heart at the end, and I thought, that's what I want to share. How are we supposed to love him? Psalm 42:1, some of you may know it. It says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you," goes after. Just picture a deer running through the woods. I mean, just all out, moving through the brush, through the trees, up and down, headed for that stream of water. And then when they get there, do you go after God that way? Can I confess I don't all the time? But you know what? At this point in my life, you know what I know? I love Jesus. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you think about it. I love him. I love him. I love him. And there are days that the emotions are there, and there's lots of days that they're not, but I love him. And I want to be with him, and I want to spend my eternity with him and everything else he has for me and for you. We have to love each other. Now you're asking me for a lot. Yes! I didn't ask it. He did. What's he say? And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ready? That's what he said. That's the second part. It's very important. Because he said in these two things, ready? All the law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah, all these things, who did Jesus see in the transfiguration? All these things, the whole thing hangs, right? It hangs. Picture that you have a priceless painting that you want to put on the wall, and you're looking at the details and the colors. It hangs, okay? It hangs. How are people going to see all these other things? Again, big picture. It's got to hang on that. It's got to hang on that. Is it that simple? It is, in terms of a thought process, but we've got to move through it. Reminds me of a song, The Power of Love. Anyway, we're almost done here. Again, what is the power of love? It's patient. Don't blow these two things. Have you been really faithfully patient all week? Have you been kind? Have you not envied or boasted? Have you been proud? It does not dishonor others. Just look around our society right now. Okay? It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Okay, this next one. If we could just keep this next one in our society, our whole world would be so much better. It keeps no records of wrongs. Okay? Next time you're looking at someone and thinking, I remember, I'm telling you, the Lord has been correcting me for a long time now about that. Your soul wants to keep a record of wrongs. I don't know about your soul. Well, I really do. It wants to keep a record of wrongs. It's so self-seekingly evil. I'm sorry. It wants to keep records. I'm wrong. It's like, okay. All right. I know what you did. You didn't do this. You did do this. You know when your soul is rearing its ugly head when it says, you always blah, blah, blah. Or you never blah, blah, blah. Records of wrongs. There's power in what Jesus said. He knows what he's doing. Okay, he knows what he's doing. The eternal nature of love. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. Such an interesting thing. Such an interesting thing. I want to read you a little quote from he's actually a pastor right now, but he's a pretty interesting Bible scholar. His name is David Guzik. He wrote this about that. He said, love is the greatest because it will continue, even grow in the eternal state. When we are in heaven, faith and hope will have fulfilled their purpose, right? We won't need faith when we see God face to face. We won't need hope in the coming of Jesus once he comes. But we will always love the Lord and each other and grow in that love through eternity. You want to know what the seed of this message was? I was going through Revelations like I do every summer. Why would you do that? My soul, I realized a couple years ago, you know what my soul needs once a year? Reset! 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 You got to go through Revelations. It helps you reset about priorities and where everything's going. Because living in this world, okay, picture the Oswego River after a big rain. It is moving out, okay? And we're in that river of the world, okay? And once in a while, we get tired, and we stop swimming against the flow, and we float. We just float downstream with our thoughts, our attitudes. And I found that going through Revelations is kind of like somebody picking me up in a little motorboat and went, and drop me upstream, so I remember again what I'm doing. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you gonna forgive that person when they don't even want your forgiveness? Why are you gonna do that? Why are you gonna be nice to somebody that you never met in a store? Why? Why are you gonna serve in church? Why are you gonna take up your Sunday mornings? Why are you going to take up your Tuesday nights at Basic like they don't have anything else? Why? You're not getting brownie points. By grace you have been saved. We don't do good works to get into heaven. We get to do good works. Why? Because we know Jesus and we're tied into what he's about. I heard somebody say, you know, the scripture says God is love. God defines love. But love doesn't define God. I thought that was really powerful. God defines love, but he's so much more. I am that I am. And I thought, going through Revelations, I was sitting in my desk at work. There may have been 1,000 or 2,000 things going on at the moment. And I sat back in my chair. I'm like, why am I even doing any of this? Why? Why? Where's my white horse? I'm going to take a ride right now. And you know what he spoke to me quietly? Love. And I went, oh. Oh, I get it. I get it. I could have read you the first part of 1 Corinthians 13. I love how Paul starts it, talking about spiritual gifts. Now let me show you the most excellent way. He's like, yeah, here's all this stuff on spiritual gifts. They're wonderful. But then he goes, let me show you the most excellent way. He had an idea of what was really important, what was in God's heart. Not that all these other things aren't important. But in order for us to execute these things and do the day-to-days, it helps us to have the spoiler and remember where we're going. And I want to end here with a little story that I found years ago. It was a preacher and evangelist. I don't know if anyone has ever heard of him. His name was Ray Stedman. I don't know if anyone had ever heard of him. But he tells this story. Ray Stedman tells about an old missionary couple many years ago who had been working in Africa for years and were returning to New York City to retire. They had no pension, their health was broken, they were defeated, discouraged, and afraid. They happened to be on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt, who was returning from one of his big game hunting expeditions. No one paid any attention to or noticed the elderly missionary couple dressed in worn-out clothes. They watched the fanfare that accompanied the president's entourage with passengers trying to catch a glimpse of the legendary hunter and politician. The husband began to have feelings of envy. They had served in Africa for years, and no one cared about what they had done. And this man goes to Africa for a hunting trip, and everyone comes out to celebrate his arrival. When the ship docked in New York, the mayor and other dignitaries were present, and a band was playing. A limousine whisked him off to his lavish residence. Newspapers were filled with stories of the president's trip, but there was not a single person waiting to greet the old couple. Okay. They weren't even able to get off the ship until the president had made his grand exit. They didn't know where they would be able to stay or how they would make a living now that they were back in the States. It seemed so unfair. I know none of you have ever felt like life was unfair to you. When they finally got their suitcases to a cheap room that night, the old man was broken in spirit and fell to his knees in prayer. He asked for the Lord to speak to him and explain to him why things were this way. They had given their lives to the Lord's work, and there was not a single word of appreciation. They were lonely and living in poverty. He later told his wife, "As I was in prayer, it seemed as though the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and simply said to me, 'But you're not home yet.'" Oh, I can't tell you. Every time I read that, I mean, my heart just breaks. Yes, there are rewards for faithfulness, but not necessarily here and now. And we will never receive those rewards if we are not faithful to the end. We're not home yet. It's the best I could do. If you don't like those kind of settings, then put something else in your mind. We're not home yet. You kind of know what home looks like. We talked about it a little bit, but we need to pick our heads up. When we get distressed and anxious and fearful, when we get condemned, when we seem to lose hope, that story was just so precious. I'm not home yet. And when we are longing for home to the point where it's an excuse for not doing and living the life we have right here and now, keep it all in context. Understand the big picture. Know that God loves you and He wants you to love other people and all the other things that it talks about in the Word. And then come to that place and allow the Lord Himself, who put trillions of galaxies out there, to come in and start with, "I love you, Lord." Amen. Would you stand with me and let's pray? Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you weave this tapestry, Lord. We're your children and you don't want us to just walk around aimlessly. You're a high priest that can sympathize. You understand. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to see the big picture, to be able to come back and understand we're not home yet, but that home is real. It's more real than what we're living in today because this earth is going away. You have something brand new for us. And when we get caught up, when we have to wake up tomorrow morning and start our busy days, I understand. But Lord, may your Spirit remind us of who we are and where we're going. And Lord, give us the courage and the strength and the peace supernaturally to be able to stand against what the day is throwing at us. And to be able to understand that our outcome is we win and we live happily ever after. And you said you will never leave us and forsake us. It's not in the distant future. It's here and it's now. And I pray that we would be able to move out, Lord, and be able to love you and love each other enough to want the heart that you have, Lord, where you want everyone coming into that eternity that you have for us. We thank you so much, Lord. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for hanging in there.